Hello, listeners. This is Ross. I might sound a little different right now. That's because I'm not recording this with professional equipment in a podcast studio. I'm currently just speaking into my phone, holed up in my shitty little Daewoo sedan. Because whether or not you are aware, we are now living in a post fat pizza back in business world. Tuesday, November 9th, 2019, at 8:30 p.m. on 7/8. The reboot of the old SBS TV show Fat Pizza. Well, it wasn't actually called Fat Pizza, it was just called Pizza. The original movie that was based on the series was called Fat Pizza. I guess they were just really leaning into the brand of Fat Pizza because if you just call something pizza, people will just think you're talking about the food. Well, it's a reboot. It's a reboot. It's a revival. It's a mishmash of Fat Pizza and Howzo's, not unlike the 2014 Australian film Fat Pizza versus Howzo's. The world is just topsy-turvy now. It's quite frankly a scary time. I can't even go back to my house. Just, I don't know what's gonna happen. I'm scared. I'm scared beyond belief of just what Paul Fenwick half rot on Australian audiences. It's Fat Pizza back in business. No one asked for it. No one. But they brought it back, and having it brought it back, I'm just scared that you're just gonna get a bunch of people saying, "Fully sick, mate," and subwoofers, and just fat pizza pizzas, they're big and they're cheesy. I can't risk going out there in the world when that could happen. So I've holed up in my car for about 6, 7 days now. I don't know when or if things are gonna go back to normal, or if they can go back to normal, really. I mean, this post-fat pizza fat pizza back in business world, it's just, I don't know. It's just everything changed. Everything changed that night. That night in November, where we all thought things were gonna go one way, but instead, the extreme low common denominator thing happened, and now the world's changed. This is truly a fat pizza back in business is Australia. So I'm hiding in the car. I'm hiding in the car right now. I actually did an interview with Jabba from Channel V. That's where I would like to think. That's what I would like to prefer to think of him from. But he was in the original pizza. He was in Howzo's. Not sure he's in the new Fat Pizza back in business yet. I haven't watched it. But this week's episode was originally going to be me talking to Jabba. But I don't want to release that episode in this current climate. I just don't think right now, in this post-fat pizza back in business world, I just want to give that type of person a platform that's kind of just allowed this havoc where I can't even go back in my... I don't even feel comfortable going back into my house. I have to be holed up in my car. So I deleted it. I deleted the episode. And it was quite disappointing because we got into some good chats, really. I didn't even bring up pizza initially, right? It kind of just came up. I mean, I wanted to just talk about music and Channel V, but then he started talking about pizza. And I'm like, okay, sure. I don't really want to... That was old. It's an old school thing. Australia has moved on. Yada, yada, yada. So, you know, I let the conversation go that way because I thought, you know, the bad times have ended and the better times are ahead. But now with Fat Pizza back in business, I'm not so sure. And it's not a type of energy I want to put out there right now. With Fat Pizza back in business just lurking the streets and just not knowing when someone's gonna just come out with a thong and thong you. That's not even from pizza. That's Howzo's. But this news show, they mishmashed them up, and I don't know what is happening anymore. So, this episode was gonna be Jabba Destroys Comedy. It's going to be me interviewing Jabba. But instead, I've gotten a recording from the vaults. It was from the middle of the year, 2018, it was in better times, where I was talking to some old radio friends. David and James, from the old radio days. We had a little reunion. And we talked about our old Sid 90.7 FM show, Hammercat. It didn't go particularly well. There's some things, particularly near the end, that I don't necessarily stand by. But you know, I stand by that more than I stand by Fat Pizza and Fat Pizza back in business and all that stuff. So. That will be today's show. Instead, me just reuniting with David and James, my old radio buddies. Hopefully next week, the sun will shine brighter. Maybe Fat Pizza back in business will get cancelled. I don't know. But until then, keep safe. Tell your loved ones you love them. Try and be safe out there on the streets. And love each other. In these dark times, we just gotta band together and love each other.
Destroy! 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 Company! Destroy! 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 Company! Ross Purdy! Destroy! Company! Ross Purdy! Destroys! Company! Destroy! Destroy! Destroy Company! Ross Purdy! Destroy Company!
Welcome to the podcast. This is the show. I am here with my guests today, David and James.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm a James.
And I'm a David.
these guys are wacky. These guys are wacky comedy guys. I know these guys back in... Now, listeners might not know this. I had a sketch radio show called Hammercat.
Hammercat
was on Triple M. Everyone remembers
this was,
it.
I think it was, what, 97?
97,
yeah.
So, I think 97, 98.
So David and James, we all did it together. And it was revolutionary, like, radio sketch comedy.
Mm-hmm. It didn't last long, but it was like, you know, the star that burns twice as bright.
Burns half as long.
Kind of thing.
You know, better to fade away. You know, better to burn out than fade away.
Exactly.
Yeah, we burnt out.
Just burnt out. Just like a short life. We were like
that one episode just burn out.
Just like that, like, you know, like Jimi Hendrix or those guys, you know.
Yeah, the 27 Club.
Yeah, except we didn't live up to 27. We lived up to like maybe like 27 minutes or something. 27 minutes of glory.
Yeah, not 27 years, 27 minutes.
Yeah.
And so today I thought it'd be a fun treat to like just have like a little reunite, you know, just reunite with the boys.
The Hammercat boys back
just
together
talk,
again.
Talk about like, you know, go back to our
20
roots.
Years, 20 year anniversary.
20 years. 20 years since Hammercat. It's everyone loves and remembers it.
It was pretty big.
It was humongous.
We had like trading cards.
Like pretty good merch. Some nice tees.
T-shirts.
We had Tarzos.
Tarzos, visors, not caps, because, you know, caps weren't cool. You had to have a visor.
Visors, because they were like off the head.
Yeah,
you
know, like
with
to
like
the
actual,
side.
The head cut off.
Upside down, to,
upside
the side
down
visor.
To the side, yeah. Frosted tips and all.
Yeah, a chain wallet with the
chain. Chain wallets, yeah.
What people didn't know about for Tarzos was we had it released, but they had their depictions of us looked eerily like Pokemon characters. So they were releasing like these Hammercat Tarzos, but they look like, you know, Pikachu or Charmander.
Yeah, we got into some legal trouble, but
fucked looking anime guy.
It worked.
But they were Hammercat.
Right. It worked out.
Yeah, Hammercat.
We had to change the name Hammercat to Pokemon just so we can make the Tarzos, but like, yes.
It worked out in the end.
I mean, out of all the comedy radio shows that had Tarzos released, we were one of them. And I just wanted you guys to come on the show, and we're just going to talk about all the great, like, stuff. I mean, already we started off, and it's like getting back into old patterns, you know? We're just riffing all the time.
It's like riding a bike.
It's like riding a bike of riffs.
A bike made of...
A riffsicle.
A bike made of riffs.
Like a crazy pandem riffsicle bicycle.
Oh, man. It just reminds me of, like, when we recorded episode 17.
Episode 17. Oh, it's wild. I still tell my kids about it.
I'm still getting the sand out of my underpants, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this was during like the Watergate scandal. And you weren't allowed to talk about it.
Yeah, no. We were.
But we talked about it.
We were on the edge.
We opened those gates. We waterboarded those gates the airwaves.
We watered those gates.
Back before waterboarding was like a big issue, we talked about it. No one was paying attention. But now everyone's talking about waterboarding, and we were like, where were you during episode 17 of Hammercat?
Yeah, man. We were just ahead of our time.
We were talking about waterboarding before it was cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, we were ahead of the curve.
Yeah, we weren't even like having fun waterboarding. We were just like, we know this is going to be a big deal someday. Yeah.
This is important.
Yeah. I remember recording that episode particularly, and we didn't have your fancy like sound effects, you know, on the internet and stuff. We had to make our own. So I remember like James actually had to make the sound of a cloth while I tried making a sound of water going down. So James, make the sound of a cloth.
Okay, so this is a cloth going over a terrorist's head.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
And now here's water.
And then David had to do the screaming of the person being tortured.
And that was high octane comedy. People couldn't believe the realism of like James being the cloth, David screaming like a person, which when you think about it, it's the easiest job. And just me being the water.
Yeah, I mean, we all had practice doing those things as well, you know?
I mean, that's what radio comedy was a lot of the time during those days. It was just making noises.
Yeah, we actually got approached by a few production companies about
We were Michael Winslow before Michael Winslow was Michael Winslow. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. I mean, Michael Winslow, he wanted so desperately to be on the show, but we're like... He didn't reach the level we reached.
Nah,
you know, he's fine. It's fine for Police Academy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like for Hammercat, no thank you.
No, we have a standard.
Yeah, we got a system that we've already established. There's three of us. There's like one of Michael Winslow. We don't need Michael Winslow.
So Michael Winslow could do like voices of like, what, 50 people?
Yeah.
We can do voices of 50 people. And when there's three of us, that's like 150 people.
That's
so
that's
like,
crazy.
That's a lot of people. It's a lot of voices.
That's a lot of voices. I didn't know you did the maths on that. That's really impressive,
Ross. Yeah. That was really hard to do too, like having to like think of the number 50 three times. Super yeah. hard maths.
I don't know. That's pretty good multiplication or addition.
That's just the level we're working on though.
Like yeah. I failed at maths at school. I was a big dumb idiot. But
you grew and you learned.
I grew and I learned.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Hammercat's about.
Yeah,
growth, education.
Yeah.
You know, bringing topics to the light that other people will sweep under the rug.
Yeah, like waterboarding.
And Watergate, which for a really long time, Bear, we weirdly conflated the two.
We thought that they were the same, but we've grown and we've learnt.
We thought Richard Nixon was waterboarding Woodward and Bernstein. So that's what the whole episode was about. People thought we were doing like satirical geniuses, but we actually just thought that's what it was.
No, we were like having a sincere discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just didn't understand.
We thought the deep throat was so deep because like they had so much water.
All the water.
So much water down the throat.
Yeah, man. I think we kind of like defined that term too. Like Pornhub's all over that now. Deep throat.
I don't like the way they made that term so sleazy.
Yeah, this was before porn.
You know, this was a pre-porn era.
Yeah.
Of Watergate. Like, yeah. And deep throat used to have a great meaning of like, I'm going to spill secrets about the president.
Yeah. And I believe the term deep throat came from, I think we were reading like a history of Northern America before the European colonization, something about deep throat being like a very high standing chief.
Ah, chief deep throat.
Chief deep throat.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to have a lot of deep ideas that he would
talk.
Voice with his throat.
With his throat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deep throat.
He would uncover secrets about enemy tribes
mm-hmm.
and then spew them to the other chiefs that they were.
Yeah.
See, education.
Educational. Yeah. This is what Hammercat was about. And it reminds me really of episode 21 where we did a whole episode. It was really the precursor to the film Mannequin. Mm. Where we just took the script to the film Mannequin before it was released in theaters and just did it on air. Really pulled one over to Hollywood studios.
It was like a radio play.
Yeah.
Where we all just played all the characters.
Right.
And we beat Mannequin to release by about a month. So by the time Mannequin came out, people had already knew what was going to happen. So
where was the surprise?
Yeah,
we ruined it. We were comedy terrorists.
Yeah,
we were about waterboarding and the film Mannequin.
We already knew about waterboarding before everyone else, so you had to get on that Mannequin train.
Yeah. In fact, they had already released Blu-ray copies and DVDs of Mannequin with just our commentary before the film. Like
our radio play?
Yeah, but they were just like, oh, but they just like followed everything that we said with like slideshow images.
So we were just narrating the... We didn't get paid for that. I'm just finding out about this now.
I only just found out from my cousin.
we should get paid for that.
Guys, don't look behind me. Don't look at the big bags of money behind me. Don't look at the big cartoonish bags of money behind me.
Ross, what are in those sacks with the dollar sign on them?
Yeah, yeah.
Not money that I got from selling the rights to the Hammercat Mannequin thing to Mannequin. Don't look behind me.
This is why we haven't spoken in 20 years. This is exactly what we agreed to come on this show to mend our relationship, to build new bridges, and you're telling us you sold the rights to our Mannequin radio play to the producers of the Mannequin movie without our knowledge.
To be fair, I did call you up on the phone and just Let me just reenact my voice message right now. I mean, okay. It'll be weird. You guys clearly didn't get it. Okay, here's what it was. Hi, David. Hi, James. It's Ross here from Hammercat. Remember when we did that Hammercat mannequin thing and we're like, we narrated it over a mannequin and all that stuff? Well, the producer's a mannequin want me to pay me huge shit tons of money and you know, I'm gonna take it and you're not gonna get any of it and I'm gonna give it to them. Bye.
Ross, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
At what point did our conjoined message bank that David and I share, at what point did the message beep? Like while you were saying all that?
To be fair,
did you hear a beep?
It could have. I heard a weird sound during when I was like, shit ton of money.
Yeah.
So
you either got cut off or you started talking before the recording.
Yeah, did you even like dial the phone when you were leaving that message?
That's a good question.
I pressed something. It might have been a typewriter that was just adjacent to a phone. It did put a bunch of words on paper. But I thought the typewriter and the phone were connected because that's what the 80s were all about, right?
And cocaine.
Yeah, typewriter, phones.
Oh, yeah.
Typewriter, phones, cocaine. And cocaine.
I can see where that all...
Yeah, it makes sense.
All happened, unraveled. A lot of cocaine, a lot of typewriting.
Yeah. A lot of...
Decide to sell the rights to something your friends worked on and just bank it all by yourself.
Look,
have we seen that? We have. So all that money, do you still have that? All that money?
Don't look behind me with all the big bags of money.
Are all those sacks still full of money?
Yeah, they still full of money, or are they just like filled with paper and then you got little bits of dollar notes sticking out from the top?
Don't look at all the money sticking out of the bags and they're clearly going everywhere all over the podcast studio.
You tripped over one of the bags. It's full of money.
Those are pieces of paper I spray painted.
Spray painted perfectly in the same as our current currency.
Yeah, even these bags, they've got like names written on them. Oh, here's one. It's James. Two James.
Oh.
This is James's share. Do not take this money for yourself.
Oh.
And Ross this... Purdy. Is a message which I think is kind of strangely
this one says,
worded. Like,
this one says it's not David's money. Clearly not David's money. These are all like labeled, so we're not allowed to touch them. But they specifically name us.
Yeah.
And it's all divided into thirds.
Yeah, thirds written in your handwriting, Ross.
Yeah. What's that about?
What's the deal?
Look, when I was writing these stuff out, it was just a prank. I wanted to trick you into thinking I took all the
classic
money.
Classic Hammercat prank.
I made like
classic
a printed
Hammercat
out paper.
Prank.
I spray painted it.
Classic.
Oh, man.
Oh, but seriously, don't look too closely, though.
That's the early days of Hammercat when we just used to call people and do pranks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, call people on the typewriter phone. Classic prank.
Extorting your friends from, you know, all the cash they earned and stuff.
Remember when we called that one nurse? And we're like, where the queen at? Where the queen? Want to talk to the queen? And then the next day she like slipped on a banana peel and broke her neck and we got blamed for it.
Yeah, I blame that on the queen though.
Yeah, that's the queen's fault.
She... Like if the queen was there, like she just could have put her on the phone.
Yeah.
If the queen didn't exist, we wouldn't have done that impression.
Yeah.
Therefore, we would have never done that prank call and that nurse would still be alive.
Exactly.
Yep.
Not our fault. We were cleared of all charges.
Yeah.
Cleared of all of them.
In fact, that actually inspired the Sex Pistols to write a whole album about, you know, fuck the Queen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't get our thanks for starting the punk scene.
No.
You know, in 1970s Britain.
We were Sex Pistols before Sex Pistols were Sex Pistols.
Right.
Like, we started punk.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were like radio punk.
The amount of times I've been on the project with a VR satellite interview and I say to Carrie Bickmore, oh, you bird, you chirping at me, you bird, you shut up. And then I get called a sexist. The amount of times that's happened to me.
That's just how punks talk.
That's just so... I'd gotten there before Johnny Rotten. Let's just say that.
We were Hammercat was way ahead of its time.
Yeah, we were
before Monty Python, before Key and Peele, there was Hammercat.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, before Key and Peele, all the time we would say like names and put an S at the end of it. Like that's a joke.
Well, like
Rowan's Atkinson's. He's Mr. Beans's.
Yeah, Mr. Beans's.
Mr. Beans's.
Black Adders.
Black Adders. You're that Black Adders.
Black Sazer Adders.
Oh, Stephen Fries's. Stephen's Fries's.
Stephen's Fries. Fries's. Stephen's Fries's Fries.
Yeah, we did that all the time.
Yeah, it was a classic. People love that. They have it on t-shirts. They just like, it's like a logo, but it has S on it. Like Adidas's,
yeah. The
Nike's's.
Yeah. The
Asics's.
Kiss Nation's Army's's.
We one time, just a whole episode, just did that, and everyone hated it then. But I think time has looked favorably on it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nostalgia porn.
Nostalgia. Now. I see like, kids these days walking around with like vintage tees with all of our little what do you call it these days? Memes.
Yeah, yeah.
Little memes that we started back in the day.
The waterboarding memes that we started memes.
Yep.
These aren't waterboards.
The Cyndi Lauper memes.
Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, yeah. Talk about the controversy with Cyndi Lauper, David. Yeah, I remember you had like a big sort of hand in.
Yeah, I had a big hand in
I mean, you do have big hands.
I do have big hands. I did have a big hand in Cyndi Lauper back in the day.
You made her career.
Yep.
You were her manager.
Yeah, that was
And you helped her pen her greatest songs.
Yeah, like Love is a Battlefield. That was all me.
Yes.
That was all me. Actually, that was from a conversation from Hammercat.
It was so good that Cyndi Lauper had to sell it to Pat Benatar.
Ugh. Freaking Pat. Freaking Cyndi
Lauper. It was too good for Cyndi Lauper.
You're just writing stuff with Cyndi Lauper and Pat Benatar's off in the corner like, oh, can I have that song? Can I have that song? And you just gave it to her because she's just got so much money.
And you're a generous artist.
Well, thank you for that. I still think bitterly of that.
Which reminds me, don't look behind you. Don't look at the big bags of money behind you.
Oh, come on, Ross.
Look at the
Ross, you weren't even,
what is this?
You weren't even involved in the music industry.
No involvement.
How did you get that money without David's knowledge?
Is that my money from Cyndi Lauper, from that time I wrote songs for Cyndi Lauper that she stole?
Don't look at the side of the bag that says, this is the money that should go to David for writing all the songs for Cyndi Lauper that went to Pat Benatar.
Oh, my God.
That's the industry. That's the industry.
I'm starting to feel like we shouldn't have come. Like, you know, Ross, we came here to reminisce about the old days, you know, when Hammercat was, you know, bigger than the Beatles.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's just brought up a lot of bad blood.
I feel like
you haven't changed.
No, you haven't. No.
Hammercat hasn't changed.
He's always been bad.
Hammercat's about growth and change in education, and you're still the same old shitty Ross.
Still extorting money from us.
Yeah.
No, trust me.
We were just overlooking it. We were just like, you know, Ross is a good friend. We'll get that money eventually, you know.
We ignored it in the name of comedy, but no more.
No more, man. You've yokoed.
You yokoed
us. You've over-yoked
us. You yokoed us in the owner.
Yeah.
Right up the owner.
Yeah, right up there.
I definitely over-yokoed this. Sorry, I was thinking you guys can come on. This will be like my big like Mark Maron type moment where I apologize for being like a shitty person, yet I never really learned my lesson. I just continue being a shitty person, so I keep having to get people back on to apologize for being a shitty person. I was thinking this will maybe be part one of a trilogy.
We're not falling for it.
No.
I think Hammercat's been over for 20 years and... We were talking about maybe a revival, maybe getting back together, but I think Ross, we should. You've clearly made it clear that we just no.
This is actually pretty annoying. Like James and I have talked about this. You've clearly got something. There's clearly something missing in your memory, man. Because like every year you do this, every year you gather us together.
Yeah, we've done this
talk
before.
About like reconciling.
We had the 10-year reunion, the 15-year reunion, now the 20-year, and it's nothing's changed.
Well, every year, more and more secrets end up coming off, and you guys get angry at me, and then you just get up and leave. So now I have to make another special to apologize for all the previous specials.
But like, we're going to get up and leave, and then you're gonna, you know, in 5 years, you're going to say, hey, let's get back together because all the other terrible stuff you did has come to light.
Yeah, and then we just keep getting like money that we were supposed to get 20 years ago from you. I guess that's the one good thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, we do need some of that money.
Yeah. So I guess it's kind of good.
It's
like,
good that you kind of left it in the studio where you do your podcast.
You haven't spent it. You spent your own money on like drugs and bad investments, but yeah. I'm glad to see that our money's still intact.
Yeah.
Which is kind of good because you saved it from us, you know, that bad drug era we had, James.
Yeah.
All the Panadol you were buying because you just, you know.
We thought that stuff was like going to take off and it's going to, like, I'm like, this stuff is so good. I'm pretty sure the government's going to blacklist this. We should totally invest.
After the whole Pokemon thing, we were just like, we got to stockpile this, but.
Stockpile all that, Panadol.
Yeah.
But now it's like everywhere.
Yeah. Pretty cheap and it doesn't really get you high or anything.
No.
It's a bad investment.
To be fair, now, it might not look like that I stole your money to stop you from being on drugs, but that's actually exactly what it was.
I knew it, Russ. I knew we could trust you.
I was feeling bad for feeling bad about you, you know? I was just like, I don't know, I'm pretty sure, like, Ross is a good guy. He's probably well-intentioned.
I knew there had to be an explanation.
I know, you guys have very addictive personalities, and I was trying to save you from yourselves. Really. You would have done the same for me.
Classic Ross.
But if you did, I would hire someone to kill both of you.
What?
No, nothing. Nothing. Hammercat Boys back in the studio.
Yeah, back together again.
Back together again.
Oh man, remember episode we did about the Iraq War?
Oh man,
when that was a thing.
Yeah, that was a bit intensive. Like we were covering the whole live feed of the Iraq War.
The first Iraq War.
Yeah. Gulf.
Bush Senior.
Yeah,
yeah.
Back when golf was a big thing, you know.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods,
yeah, before the sex scandal.
They just send...
Prime Tiger Woods.
They send, like, all the big golf stars to Iraq.
Yeah.
And just try to beat the enemy with golf clubs. Turns out that's not how it works.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, Greg Norman was a really great golfer, but not a great soldier.
Yeah, too many swings. Too many swings.
Too many misses.
Too many whisses, yeah.
I mean, you know, in golf, you're supposed to say under par, but you can't really do that on the battlefield when you, you know... Have to waterboard people.
Yeah, waterboarding takes a lot of swings to
murder someone, like beat someone to death.
Yeah, especially with a golf club, just doesn't really have as much.
Yeah,
like it's like a fin sort of. Yeah, you can't really, especially if you got bad aim.
I mean, I guess you can swing it fast because it's light.
Yeah,
I guess that's good.
They're more designed for like underarm.
But you have to repeatedly hit someone because it doesn't do a lot of damage because there's not as much weight to it. Yeah, but we were really ahead of our time.
We really were.
In terms of like using golf as a military tactic in the Middle East.
Yeah, during the Gulf War.
Good times. So what's been going on? What's been going on with you guys since... Well, James, you got a show. You've got Man vs. Movies. You're beating up movies.
I'm retired now, but I do have a show where I review movies.
Right.
But I don't actually watch the movie. I just get a copy of it, whether it's on DVD or cassette tape or like a film reel. And I just beat the living shit out of it because, you know, that's art, you know.
This is a radio show.
This is, like, you can hear it in the, you know, me hitting it.
But it's really the theater of the mind. Like, you got to imagine the DVD smashed up.
It's about me challenging the art to challenge me back.
Like, physically challenging it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, because if you watch a movie and you get something intellectually or emotionally challenging, that's one thing. But you don't get anything physical from it. So I'm there to, like, get something really physical out of it. So I beat the shit out of it, especially, like, the rare film prints, the ones that you can't find anymore, the ones that, you know, we really should be preserving. Mm. Those are the best ones to just tear apart with your teeth. and just ruin so that no one can ever watch them again. But you really get it physical. It's good exercise. Yeah, it's a movie review show. Check it out.
I heard the reason why Jerry Lewis weren't released for Dave didn't release for Dave Clown Dives because you smashed it up.
I smashed it up. I ingested it and pooped it out. I kept some of the feces, like fossilized.
Yeah.
Just because I thought it was important. You know, that movie's important, you know.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, no one's ever going to see that.
It was the frame, where the clown is like tearing up in the chamber.
Yeah, leads the kids into the
chamber. Yeah. The day the clown cried, more like the day you pooped out the day the clown cried.
I mean, I never actually saw the movie because I was just like eating the film. Yeah, but I did see the frame sometimes through the light.
Yeah.
As I was like tearing into it, beating the shit out of it.
Whoa, that's pretty intense, man.
So go in depth about the time that you just beat Roger Ebert to death.
Oh, yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
No, it had nothing to do with my show or movie, like the fact that he was involved, you know, of a movie critic. I was just like, I don't like that guy. And I saw him on the street. I had no idea who he was. He was just some old guy. He had cancer, I think, at that point.
Damn.
Yeah, and I was just like, I don't like that guy. So I hit him and he died.
And had
nothing to do with movies, nothing to do with my show.
It's because you have anger issues, and his guy was just on the unfortunate end of it.
I mean, unfortunately, I was having Gulf War flashbacks. And it was just like golf balls flying at me, and like I was being waterboarded, and you know, just yeah, it was pretty intense. So I mean, that must have had something to do with it.
But you know, like I don't know, art imitates life, I guess, and like Hollywood really thanks you for that because you put the guy. Poor guy out of his misery.
Yeah, true. And they made a movie out of it.
Made a movie. I think you got like a...
But I never got paid for that. I don't know why.
Don't look underneath the table. Don't look at the...
Why?
Don't look...
Ross, are those more bags of money?
It's more bags of money.
It says Roger Ebert's... James Kills Roger Ebert movie money.
Oh, my God. Is that a
How did you even get this? This happened a few years ago. How did you even get this from my agents, like producers? Like, how are you even involved?
Yeah, how do you Ross keep like getting the first all this contact money? To get all this money?
And why do you keep it in this very small podcast studio where you can't fit equipment, but you can fit all this money?
Yeah, I don't know why I put all the money in here either. I like, thought it was safer than a bank, so...
This is the worst place to keep it.
Yeah. So you've never actually talked to your agent face to face, right? You've always just talked to him on the phone?
On the typewriter phone.
Typewriter phone.
That's how
And he kind of talks like this.
Oh, my God.
David, when you found out about the commentary track money,
yeah,
did you speak to any, like your cousin? You said you spoke to your cousin.
Spoke to my cousin who spoke to my agent.
What's he sound like? What's your cousin sound like?
Sounds
Hi, David. It's your cousin.
Oh, Merle. My God.
I don't...
I've never met my cousin. All I know is my cousin's voice.
Why? Ross, you've been impersonating all these people who get our money for us. Just so you can steal our money.
This is horrible. I've told you all my deepest, darkest secrets, Ross. I've told my cousin all my deepest, darkest secrets.
So did I ever have an agent or have you been my agent since the beginning? Like when we started Hammercat?
Well, I remember when you started off with one guy and you weren't so sure about him, so you moved on to your current agent. That was me too.
Wait.
Hey, James, remember, it's Jonathan Goldstein. No, James, I can be your agent. I can be your agent. I cut the prices. I can do it.
Oh, my gosh.
David, I think it's time we should leave.
We should leave after collecting all of our money.
Yeah, like...
This is ridiculous. We should,
divvy up this money and then... Ross, I'm sorry, like, you keep doing this. Every time you do a reunion special, this always happens.
I'm sorry. Let's move on. We've ruined our lives.
Again.
It's exhausting.
You Yoko Ono's... For the last time.
Look, do you really want that blood
money?
This
is why Hammercat broke up in the first place.
Did you really want that blood money?
I love the blood money.
Yeah.
Roger Ebert's blood is all over your hands. I wanted
and
to get that
blood off. And
it's all
over that money. And I'm going to deposit that right in the blood bank.
Blood bank to buy more blood. Because that's what...
We're investing in blood.
I swear, guys, just stay...
It's the future.
Another 10 minutes. I swear, I have a thing to just make up for it.
It better be good.
Okay, it's going to be great. So, James, we caught up with you, what you've been doing. So, David.
Yeah.
What have you been up to? You've been doing nothing?
David moved to Hawaii.
Right.
Yeah, that's about...
Is that the long and short of it?
Well, you know... Like,
he's been pretty quiet lately.
He's been pretty quiet. I haven't really... Look, you know, the catching up with you guys is great, but, you know, you're all busy. You have all this crazy stuff going on. I'm just sort of like at home in Hawaii chilling out with my wife and kids. My wives and kids, I mean.
Wives? Because, yeah, you converted to Mormonism.
It's popular in Hawaii now.
It's, you know, when you move to a new country, you got to sort of like immerse yourself in the culture. I was like, you know, might as well get married.
Get married again.
Get married again and then settle down.
I went.
Then get married again.
Yeah. I went to two of the weddings. I think I missed the other.
Yeah. So James actually came to the weddings.
Yeah. Unlike
I don't know where you were, Ross. I sent you like numerous invites.
Some friend. One of your wives was Sally Hellerman.
Yeah.
Red hair, kind of looks supremely fake, but every time you asked about it, it's just like, it's hair I'm self-conscious about.
Oh, my God.
Hi, David, it's Sally.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
David, you married Ross.
I feel disgusting.
You married Ross.
Oh, no. Oh,
God. If it makes you feel better, I only married you for the money.
Wait.
I mean, I married you because I really,
money?
Truly love
What's
you. And
money?
It's nothing to do with getting all your money. No.
My second wife, she divorced after like a month, but we consummated a lot.
Oh.
I mean, if I waited 15 years, I could have just waited until gay marriage got legalized and then I didn't have to go for the rigmarole of dressing up as a woman. I could have just...
Oh, my God.
Dressing up as a different man is probably easier than dressing up as another woman.
Oh. I mean, I'm not a homophobe, but like...
Yeah,
that was probably one of the best sexual relationships I've ever had in my life.
Well, that wasn't me. Every time you wanted to, I just put like a beaten up tennis ball with some holes in it.
That was a beaten up tennis ball?
Yeah.
How,
depending on your views, it's almost worse, but...
How did that work?
I guess it just didn't feel like anything I've ever felt before.
I don't want to get into murky territory right now. But, David, James, I brought you both here. James, you've done really well. David, not really. I think that me and James should try and get David popular. Really get his career back up and running.
Yeah, you guys think people would want that? Do you think the
world
wants that?
I think it's... There's like a nostalgia for...
Everything's getting rebooted now.
Yeah, know? Like we could reboot your whole career. But like it's like a little bit of a remake, but it's a little bit of a sequel. Yeah, it could be good.
Like one of those confusing reboots where they reboot the entire series, but it's the same main actor and it's confusing to everyone.
Sort of.
It's like you, but older.
Yeah.
Oh, and like he got coming back, now. Like older, more wiser, more experiences, and there's just that darkness in my eyes.
Yeah, it's like a gritty reboot.
Yeah, gritty. Okay, I think I could make that work. Yeah.
Yeah, we could do this. If only we had the money to sort of kickstart it, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder where we...
Don't look underneath your seat to the left with the money on it that says,
"Oh my God,
this is money that could be used to kickstart."
How long have you been holding on to this? You know, David's been depressed. not, you know, his career.
This is ridiculous. This is actually, oh my God, that's a lot of money.
You know.
That's so much money.
You know he's been wanting to get out of the house. How long did you have this money? It's like lying here.
What's going on, Ross?
Probably about as long as we've been married.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I've had to go to therapy sessions because of you. I mean, because of my ex-wife.
Who is?
It's Ross disguised as a
woman. No, not at all. That was a prank.
What?
This is, you know that Ashton Kutcher show?
Oh my God.
Pranked with Ashton Kutcher, yeah.
2003 comedy. 2003 yeah. problematic pranks.
We inspired that show, obviously.
Hammer Cat. Hammer Cat was all about, you know, pranking our celebrity friends.
This makes sense. I knew Ross wouldn't do this to us. I knew this
is ridiculous. Oh, this is devastated. I'm like really strangely relieved at the same time, but
this is exactly also, why, yeah. Hammer Cat forever. Like, yeah, you can't beat it.
Also emotionally scarred.
But to be fair, I did pay a woman named Sally Hellerman to be your wife.
But she was a woman?
Did she use
Look, I didn't want to ask. I don't want to make assumptions, you know, in today's
Was world. This woman a tennis ball? Or made of tennis balls?
To be fair, I'd never actually talked to her face to face, so...
Did she sound like this?
Oh, my God.
Take that.
Oh, my God.
See, you son of a bitch. I can do it, too.
Oh, my God.
I was pretending to be Sally the whole time so you would trick David into getting married and then you would steal the money and then I would steal the money from you. So you don't look at the bags behind your bags, behind on top of those bags, behind the seat, under the table, behind those bags. Don't look at those bags.
Oh, my God.
This convoluted setup is labyrinthian.
I can't trust anyone. This is disgusting.
Those are my bags, your bags of money that are now mine.
Did you give me herpes?
No, I wasn't involved. I was like, it was a prank, bro.
What was that? You gave her piss. Who gave who piss?
Herpes.
You're giving each other. Look, I don't know what you do in the bedroom. I don't mind. Look. The thing I'm upset about the most is not the kind of ambiguous sexuality. It's more the betrayal with the money that it's getting me.
Well, I'm just giving you a taste of your own medicine.
And it tastes like Panadol. Because of all the Panadol I bought, because we thought that was going to be a big thing.
Yeah, it didn't really work out.
Oh, you still got stockpiles of it left?
Don't look underneath the bags of money.
Oh, my God. Panadol.
Panadol everywhere.
Jesus. Guys, well, thanks for coming on. I'll invite you back in 5 years.
Yeah, I don't know if this has done more harm than good, but...
I don't know. I feel, like, emotionally... Sorry, I think I need to go see my therapist again. Oh, no, it's fucking Ross. I need to get a new therapist. We need to get new agents.
Yeah, I'm starting
to take some Panadol for my herpes.
Now I'm starting to question, like, who in my life is just Ross in disguise?
So 5 years, same time.
Yeah, no, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see each other five years from time.
Yeah, I mean, the people want
some more.
I mean, look, honestly, probably less backstabbing than Monty Python.
Yeah,
I think we're done well.
Yeah. I think next episode we'll talk about our 9/11 stuff. Yeah. Yeah, we covered Watergate, 9/11.
We forgot about 9/11. Yeah,
we covered 9/11 in 1999. That's the weird thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
We could have talked about that instead of the...
Yeah, the whole other stuff.
Incriminating stuff, but...
Oh, well.
People are going to listen to this and they're going to know that their heroes are not to be worshipped. We're terrible people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We're like Metallica.
No, you're like Metallica.
I am.
See you in 5 years, James.
See ya.
See ya, guys.
Hi guys, this is something I'm just re-recording now, just tagging it on at the end here. David and James, they're still here. Hi, I'm David. Hi, I'm James. Oh, we've all made up now, and all that really weirdness that kind of the show ended on, that weird nosedive, it's absolutely fine, right? Oh, I'm James, I killed Roger Ebert, someone should arrest me so Ross can take his money. Ho ho ho! And what about you, David? Oh, I can never love again. I don't know who is what and who isn't my friend or whatever. I don't know. My life's a weird spy movie now. I can't trust anyone. Oh, David, you wacky guy. Yeah, I took all their money. See ya. Ross Purdy, that's Dice Dominator.